Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the In the Truck podcast. I recorded an episode earlier today. I don't know, man. I don't really... could have been better. But I was listening to Joe Rogan earlier, and he had Abby Martin on, and it dawned on me, and this is something I kind of touched on previous on the podcast, but it just dawned on me how obvious it is that the thing that they... that the people who we oppose fear the most is these little individual identity groups getting together. When you realize that we have a lot more in common than we think, and that we share a lot of values, and that we want the same things, that we're opposed to the same things, and that the group of people who oppose is the same. So, like, Abby Martin was just on Joe Rogan, and she's a super lefty, which I'm not at all, but she's out there reporting news, and obviously she has a slant. We all have a slant. I'm not saying that she's not biased. But I also wouldn't say anybody else isn't biased. But she's out there reporting news. She actually goes to places and films things and does specials and interviews people and puts it up. She's telling the truth, I guess is my point, right? She's not lying, which is important. And she gets accused of all the same things Trump gets accused of. She's a Russian spy. She's a Russian bot. She's colluding with the Russians. She's works for the government. She's deep state, whatever. All these things. And it's the same people, right? When she talks about her basic premise is that the deep state isn't these neoliberal people who are opposed to Trump. The deep state is the military-industrial complex and the people who foment war and that want to do these things and bomb Syria and blah, blah, blah. And that those people don't actually oppose Trump or Obama or Bush or Clinton or any of these presidents. The people who are against Trump are the neoliberals who are also in favor of war. Right, they push these narratives of bombing Syria. And she pointed out that a lot of the information about the Russian trolls in the election, which we all at this point realize is a completely ridiculous narrative, right? Is being pushed by these neoliberal, neocon, whatever you want to call them, think tank people. It's like Bill Kristol, whatever, you know, these never Trumpers, right? They're pushing this whole thing with the Russian collusion. So it's the Democrats in Congress and these supposed Republican think tank people, all these Washington, D.C. people are working together, and they're trying to stop Trump. They're trying to stop, you know, in general, like any kind of populist movement. They're opposed to Bernie Sanders, which I was too. And then they're opposed to Abby Martin. And then they're just going after all these different people to keep things going the way that they're going. And they're opposed to anybody who's going to stand in the way. And it's funny because Abby really doesn't like Trump, which I guess is to be expected. But she's stuck in the same boat as he's stuck in, right? She's being attacked by the same people, accused by the same people. And it's just interesting to hear. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, we all want the truth, right? So somebody like Abby Martin is invaluable because she's willing to go put herself in harm's way in dangerous places and tell the truth. And we're constantly being sold a narrative about things, right? So, like, Venezuela is constantly painted as this socialist hellhole, and it's evil, and it's a dictatorship, and being pushed on the people. So, not that that's not true, right? So that part, it's partly true. It is a socialist hellhole. It is a country that has enormous natural resources, could be very wealthy, and isn't, right? The people aren't doing well there. It's just a fact. I mean, they went through a period of time where they had no toilet paper. There's absurd government policies that led to the lack of toilet paper and other things, right? So things aren't going well. But her point was that, okay, so she was there, and our narrative that it's a dictatorship is totally false. There's a ton of support for Maduro. And then a lot of the deaths that you hear about from the protests aren't Maduro. It's not government doing it, right? It's protests and counter-protesters. It's not a good situation. I don't think she hinted that it was a good situation, but just pointed out that the story we're being told isn't exactly accurate. And I think that's important to note, right? We're going to make policy decisions about international relations and sanctions and, you know, bombing countries and things like that. You know, it's important to know. And you know, she was talking, too, about the whole thing with Syria and the gas, and that there's no evidence that there was any gas attack whatsoever. And the same people pushing the Syrian gas attack bomb Syria are the same people who are pushing the weapons of mass destruction Iraq thing and got us the Iraq war. And I think, you know, man, it just seems like obviously we differ on policy solutions, domestic policy solutions. But I think that the same passion is there to know the truth and the realization that we're being lied to by government. And, you know, this in my opinion, the way I see it, it's like a combination of the Democrat Party, the core of the Democrat Party, and the Never Trump Republicans have been working together probably for 100 years, you know, with the same objectives. And they're playing WWF wrestling, where one guy plays the good guy, one guy plays the bad guy, or one gal, and they go out and pretend that they disagree. In reality, it doesn't matter who wins because the policy stays the same, because the thing that matter, they agree. They have the same objectives. You know, and Abby calls it an empire, which might turn you off. You know, when you hear someone call your country an empire, an evil empire, I don't think she used evil, but an empire, you might think, you know, it's a big turnoff. I tend to be able to just kind of see through that. I don't know that I would use that same terminology, but the idea that we operate that way and exert our influence in the world on behalf of our own business interests, I think, is obvious. You know, when Hillary Clinton met with the Secretary of State, met with the Iraqi parliament, when they were going to be, when we were withdrawing and they were going to take over control of their own country, they had to sign a single document. And that plan was put in place in the Bush era, but the document they had to sign was to privatize the oil fields of Iraq before they could take their seats as a parliament and take over control of their own country. And Hillary Clinton delivered that message to them and had them sign that document. So it's funny because you argue like, oh, Bush and Obama are so different. Nah, not really. Pretty much exactly the same. And that's something that Abby talks about, is that it's the same. It doesn't make a difference. It's the same people with the same objectives. And I think that the thing that they find the most terrifying and the reason that they play identity politics is because in order to keep doing what they're doing, they have to pit us against each other and get us all sidetracked on these silly issues that don't matter. Trans bathroom policies and Trump's sexual history with porn stars, whatever, you know, all the stuff that's irrelevant to the big picture, but it's just a distraction where they can keep doing what they're doing and there's nobody's going to stop them. And I think that we need to recognize it's happening, right? So this thing with Kanye this week where the world went crazy because he said he agreed with Candace Owens, and then Chance the Rapper come out and then the wheels come off and people attack him like crazy. And part of that, I think, is just organic tribalism where, you know, they feel like they're on a team and they think Kanye's on their team and they get mad because now it seems like maybe he's not on their team. But I think part of that's not organic, and part of that is a concerted effort to maintain the division caused by identity politics. So like with anything, there's two groups of people, right? There's the true believers, people who really believe in something, like postmodernists who really believe in identity politics. And then they're powerless. And then there's the moneyed interests who see a way to use that organic idea and movement to their advantage. So all of a sudden it becomes very powerful, right? So that's what George Soros is constantly being accused of, financing this, that, the other revolution or rebellion. Soros doesn't care about any of that stuff, right? He's just trying to create chaos because he uses it to his own economic advantage. And I think you're seeing that play out, you know, in America. I think the identity politics thing is nonsense. You know, we had Angela on. She and I couldn't be more different. Got along fine. Had a lot in common. Share a lot of views. Abby Martin, I listened to her today. Some of what she says can be maybe infuriating. Maybe you don't like to hear it, whatever. Some of it's her opinion, obviously. We all have an opinion. But some of it's just the truth. And I think it's important to realize that we have a lot in common. And if we're able to bridge that divide, if we're able to bridge that gap, we're able to see the commonality in groups of people who are being pitted against each other, I think that we can make an enormous change in the world. You know, it's funny to see, you know, she doesn't like Trump because she's a real hardcore lefty, and he's obviously not. But it's funny to hear her talk about basically being persecuted by the same people in the same way, and to see, like, you know, we share enemies, you know. And I think that, you know, at least during the campaign, Trump's rhetoric was pretty anti-war and pretty isolationist. And I think that that's something that a lot of us really feel is a good way to go. You know, these military all over the world, constant, permanent war, constant engagement with other countries, constant involvement in other people's domestic politics is not good for us. It's not a place we want to be. I don't think the American people support that. And it just gets pushed constantly by the media and by government and by the, you know, the never Trumpers and whatever you want to call them, neoliberals, neocons, whatever, these pro-war centrists, right? Where they don't really have a political ideology as much as they have a global warfare ideology. I think we have a lot in common with the left. I think that we were able to see past identity politics, to shut that down. You know, that's something maybe the Kanye did a little bit today, and we're able to get some candidates nominated that maybe doesn't even run on a left-right platform, but instead ran on a clean government, honesty, real transparency, not Obama transparency, real transparency, anti-war, pro-American economic policies. All the rest of the stuff we can compromise on, right? Economic, environmental regulations, we could probably... If we were all being honest, right? Nobody was being disingenuous and pretending. But if you're just being honest, we can come to some compromises on some of these things and put them to rest and sort of push the tiny minority that wants to play identity politics with absolutely every issue, push them to the margins where they belong. So I don't know. That was my thought on that. I just, you know, if you spend some time listening to somebody who is telling the truth, I think that you find that there's a lot more agreement than you might have imagined. And I'm not talking about like the David Hoggs of the world who are totally disingenuous and full of shit and lying and pursuing an agenda and trying to do the most, pull emotional heartstrings and like that. I'm talking about real people who are seeing real events and being honest about what they're seeing and how they feel about it. I think in those cases where you have real honesty and you really have a sense of, I don't know, just humanity about things, we probably have a lot more to agree on than we realize. And that's the anecdote. That's the anecdote to the whole thing. That's the anecdote to what created the Soviet Union, what created Nazi Germany. It's all based on lies and constant lying. And that's necessary for that kind of tyranny to exist and that kind of evil to exist. And I don't think any of us want to be part of anything like that, right? We all want to be be part of a just world where people are free to pursue their own dreams to whatever measure they see fit. And I think, that's not something that came up, so maybe she doesn't agree with me about that. I may be putting words in her mouth, but it just struck me that a person who's honest, no matter what their political perspective is somebody you can talk to and you can reason with and you can have a reasonable conversation with. And I think what kind of won me over was the fact that obviously she's a lefty and she's very honest about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And I think maybe that's the measuring stick, right? Like if you're honest on the right, you have to admit that Bush's presidency and the involvement in the Iraq war was problematic, to use a term from the left. And I think if you're an honest lefty, you have to admit that Hillary Clinton was a freaking disastrous nightmare and that Obama's presidency was nothing that it was billed as. It was total smoke and mirrors, nonsense campaign. The whole hope and change thing was a line of crap. And that he really didn't change anything that mattered from Bush era to the Obama era. It was all these little ancillary little things. And I think the erosions of freedoms that people on the right started paying attention to under Obama, they were ignoring under Bush. A lot of stuff was going on before the Patriot Act and everything else. So I think if we could to get over some of our differences or just set them aside, because there are issues that could be debated later on down the road, I think that we'd be able to maybe put an end to some of these things and really kind of cement the idea that we're a free people and that we want to continue to be a free people and move on from there. But you got to be honest. You got to tell the truth. So that was it, man. Listen, I hope you all have a great day. I apologize for recording two podcasts today, but that just was on my mind and I had to get it off my chest. And I just wasn't satisfied with the one from earlier. It was okay. It's not terrible. I'm not saying don't listen to it, but it was just about songs and how songs today are a window into the silliness of the millennials. But I appreciate you checking it out, and we'll talk to you later.